going to continue what we did start to talk about last week about building up our confidence in God and the importance of that. And our confidence not being in ourselves or our own ability, you know, the self. We looked at self-confidence and all those things, and how people can let us down. And of course, we stake too much of our confidence in what we hear, rather, you know, like say the news reports, or how the economy's going, or in particularly, you know, I was focusing a lot. I want to focus a lot on our health and when things come against our bodies, because we really do, you know, like that piece of paper that comes in front of us, whether it's an X-ray or whatever, or a doctor's report, can really devastate you, and just, you know, put you in a position where fear can come on you, and because what we see, we don't see, and you know, I'm just as guilty as everybody else, but we don't see enough of what we know God can do. And so because we don't see it, we tend to lose our confidence. But, you know, it's like you don't run away from something that you know to be true. And you do what you can to build your confidence in the truth and the reality of what Jesus said, who he is, and what he will do for us. And, you know, we talked about the fact that it's not just your, you know, individual, for people having lack of faith. I don't like using that term, because God has given to each of us the measure of faith. So he's given us what we need to believe. We're not short of that. We have what we need to believe, and we just need our confidence built up in him. And Sarah, yeah, if you could just put the first slide up. We did look at this this little scale here of our confidence level. And generally, most of us are at the bottom end here. When something comes at us, or we're troubled about something, we get a bad report, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to make it through. I'm not going to be okay. It's, you know, I'm going to lose my job, whatever it is. That's where we sit at, you know. And so there's a process that happens. We could be going along all happy and confident, like here at number 10, and everything's okay. You know, how many, you know, it's easy to be confident when the world's okay and everything's okay and nothing's happening. Isn't it easy then? Well, my goodness, we'd all be really stupid if we weren't confident then, wouldn't we? But then, you know, as things start to happen, whether it's in our personal lives or related to us or in the world situation, we start to feel a little bit, you know, well, probably okay. Well, I won't think about it. It's probably okay. It'll be okay. And, you know, you can tell there's this process you go through in your head, you know, and then, well, I'm not really sure. And then the more bad news that comes, it's I'm getting worried now. Instead of, because what are we doing? We're focusing on what the facts are. We're focusing on whatever's been given to us. And, you know, I'm not one of those that says you deny the facts or, you know, no. You don't deny the facts. You just remember confidence in God means that truth supersedes the facts. And you believe in the truth of his word regardless of whether or not you've seen it in another situation before. It doesn't change who God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And what happens in the earth, however the enemy robs us, it doesn't change who God is. Never changes him. So this morning I want to just take up from there a little bit. And it says in Proverbs 14:26, you don't have this one, so don't worry, Sarah. I'm just going to read it. It says in Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, and this is what we heard in the end of your word there, Norm, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Now, we looked at Psalm 65 last week, which says, you are blessed because God has chosen you to come near to him and to approach him. So you are blessed, and you will be satisfied with the goodness of his house. What's his house? Everything that he is and what he brings. You know, all his health, his well-being, his joy, his peace, All that comes from God. We will be satisfied with that. It says when we draw near to him and we're in his presence. And that's what this is saying in the fear of the Lord. Well, what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is just basically respecting and honoring who he is. So when you believe who he is, when you believe, it's not being afraid of God. My goodness, he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. When you believe who he is and you respect and honor, wow, he is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And in that fear of the Lord, in that respect and honor and confidence, that's what it says, there is strong confidence in that, and his children will have a place of refuge. You can have strong confidence in the Lord and have that place of refuge. This is what confidence actually means, a dictionary definition. It is full trust in, belief in, the reliability of a person or thing. So I'll say it again. It's full trust or belief in the reliability, let's say, of a person. How much do you fully trust and believe in the reliability of Jesus Christ, your Savior? Now, not just up here in your head, you know, like in here, that confidence. Do you really believe, if the crunch came in whatever area of your life, that he would be reliable and trustworthy to his word? That's what confidence means. It also means assurance, and it means authority. And we looked at the faith verse last week, Hebrews 11:1. It's the confidence and that assurance that what you believe for, not some crazy, hairy, fairy thing you believe for, but it's what you believe for that's in God's word that we know is in his will. We're going to get into that later. So it's that authority that comes when you have that confidence. And this is actually a biblical definition here. A state of boldness and confidence, even in the face of intimidating circumstances. Now, see, that's where that little sprint scale comes on. Like, we can be all happy over here, but when the circumstances come against you and they're intimidating, having confidence in God actually means a state of boldness and confidence even in the face of those circumstances. So case in point would be, say, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, that woman was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And what did the scripture say? Said that she'd been to many doctors. Okay? Nothing wrong with going to a doctor. They're there for a reason, and God puts them there to help us out along the way. But like I said, first off, go to your Father God. All right? So she'd been to many doctors. None of them could make her better. Now, she was definitely a candidate to be in the place of, this ain't going to happen. I'm really worried now. She was hemorrhaging. Who knows how much time she would have had if it continued on and kept on going. You know, they didn't do blood transfusions and all that sort of stuff in that day. So who knows how much time she had. But she heard about Jesus. And right away, that built confidence in her. So that she knew, she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. This is a woman who had report after report after report after report, negative, 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 negative. We can't help you. I know he will make me well. That's confidence. That's the difference. The report wasn't wrong. The woman was still hemorrhaging before she touched Jesus. So the report wasn't wrong. The fact was there, but the truth superseded that fact. And she had confidence. And you know, it's not really even having confidence in your faith. It's having confidence in the faith giver. It's having confidence in Jesus Christ and in the promise that he gives to us. So you can look at life. There's like two approaches to life. You can either look at life in fear, or you can look at life and choose to look at life in faith and confidence in the Lord. And I want us to look at Psalm 27 this morning. beautiful psalm, the whole psalm, but we're going to read the first six verses. Beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, we don't have that attitude most times. You know, first thing, when something comes that could rock us, we slip into fear very quickly. Whereas, you know, if there's any scripture you want to hold on to, or if you don't know where to go in the Word to just build your confidence, start here. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, now see, it's like we heard in that word again, it's the wicked, it's the evil one who comes against you. It is not Jehovah. It is not our great God, Jesus Christ. God does not come against you in any way, ever. He is for you, not against you. It says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, ever be in that position where you feel like that, where it's just coming from every angle? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, you know, immediately to your head, the thought of fear is going to come. But this says, my heart shall not fear. And that's when you take that authority and that confidence that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come against that fear and stand against it. My heart will not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. In what? That's a full stop. It's not a colon. It's not what comes next. In this, what we've just said, I'm going to be confident that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nothing can come against me. That is what I'm confident in. Then he goes on to say what we've been talking about. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David didn't have the opportunity we have. He was seeking that to, wow, just be in God's presence all the time. And yet, like we read in Psalm 65, he's chosen us to approach him and come near to him and be in his presence. One thing I will seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That is the privilege we have. We can come into the presence of the Lord, and in particular, like with anything, your plan, you know, what your destiny in life, your career, your business, anything, but in particularly with our health and wholeness, we can come into that presence of God and inquire of the Lord. He can tell you who you should see, if you should see a doctor, and who not to see. And don't go anywhere. Trust me. It's listening to what he says. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now. I like that. So you're in the presence of God. He speaks to you about what to do with whatever this dilemma is in your life, this health problem. And he sets you, he covers you, he hides you, he talks to you about it. He sets you high upon the rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. What happens? That assurance comes. That confidence and that assurance comes in being in his presence. Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. When you get yourself in a pickle, or, you know, fear's coming at you, get yourself in his presence. Let him hide you in his pavilion. Let him talk to you. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in his confidence, and then that confidence will come. You'll feel it. You'll just feel it inside you. There's something about just spending 10 minutes in the morning, just 10 minutes, you know, with God. The rest of the day, the attitude's just different. Something changes. He'll build that up and then just start praising him and thanking him for taking care of the problem. And it will come easy. It won't be a drudgery when you pulled yourself in and drawn to him with that need, whatever it is, and allow him to build you up in that confidence. He does it all for us if you just give him a chance. It should be effortless, yet we make it so hard. We are masters at complicating life, especially spiritual things. So it comes down to your attitude about the situation, how you are on that confidence scale, rather than your ability or what you can do, because it's all what God can do. And, you know, even athletes will tell you that. You know, it's all what's happening up here, and the enemy attacks this mind up here and really lets havoc, because if you start to believe that rather than what God's word says, that's when the fear comes in and just grips you. And apparently, I never knew this, but I read through the week that, you know, Muhammad Ali, the great fighter, he only lost 2 fights in his entire lifetime. And those 2 fights both had one thing in common. I thought this was very interesting. You know how they give a press conference before a game, like specifically with individual sports like boxing, tennis, or whatever. They will do a press conference before the game and after the game, whether you won or lost, and what you're feeling about the game coming up beforehand. Well, Muhammad Ali would have a press conference before every single game in his entire lifetime. And in 2 of those press conferences, only 2, he made the statement, "If I happen to lose this fight, blah, 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 blah." Those were the only 2 he lost in his entire lifetime. What's that tell you? We don't realize the importance of our words. There must have been something going on in his brain there, something for him to make that statement, "If I lose these 2 fights." He probably wasn't very sure. You lose your confidence, you lose it. Don't lose your confidence, not in yourself. Don't lose your confidence in God. That's why it's important to always start your day in, you know, prayer or the word or whatever. However it happens for you, and anybody has time. Like Pastor Sue, you know, did a couple Sunday nights ago, handed out those devotion books. Anybody has time for 10 minutes. And you'd be surprised what a difference 10 minutes in God's presence will make to your day. It'll have you craving more. It'll have you craving more. Just start it out. Start it out with him. And just set the tone for the day. Let's look at 1 John 5:14 and 15, please, Sarah. Says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him." There's a lot of knowing and confidence going on in there, but, you know, we think, well, you know, we don't really see this happening. And verse 14 is the key there. If you can just put that up again, please, Sarah. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will." Okay, so you need to know what his will is. But it's interesting in this verse here with that word, his will. Actually, in the translation, it means 2 distinct things. And this is what it means. Firstly, it means someone's inmost desire or heart's desire. All right, so we're talking about God here. His inmost desire or heart's desire. And the second thing it means is something that's planned or intended. So from that, I take it when God used that word and the Holy Spirit used it in this language with those 2 meanings, he's covered everything. Because first of all, he's covered his inmost desire or heart's desire. His inmost yet desire or heart's desire. You cannot tell me that God's inmost heart desire would not be for you to be well. Because 3 John says, I pray above all, beloved, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You cannot tell me that it is God's will ever for someone to die a tragic death of an illness or a disease, especially before their time. It is not God's will. It's the junk we're subject to in this age, in the enemy and the evil one. It's never God's will, ever. And I know people sometimes, we get nervous because of what we've seen or haven't seen. And we like to just say, well, it's probably not God's will. No, gone is the confidence. Gone, right there. He said, he died, he came to take our iniquities, our sins, and our pains and diseases. He carried them away. Carried them away. By his stripes, we were made whole. So his inmost desire or heart's desire is for you to be well and prosperous. So that's the first translation of his will. And the second translation is something that's planned or intended to happen. So if you wanna go be confident on your road in life and whatever partner you've chosen or career you've chosen, yeah, you're not going to get that in the word, so thus says the Lord, marry this person, okay? Or thus says the Lord, take this job, okay? In the word, you will get his will and desire on your health and well-being, but you're not going to get it just in that perfect little way, black and white, on those issues in life, yet that word will means something that's planned or intended. So anything we ask according to his will. So you think, well, how can I ask according to his will if it's not in black and white in the word? Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit knows the will of the Father. You pray in the Spirit. Look, it's easy. Like I said, we make it hard. You pray in the Spirit. And you just be going along someday, and all of a sudden, something drops in there, and you know, I need to do that. Or you get stopped in your tracks. I better not go that way. Okay? Both those wills are involved in that passage. So let's read it again, Sarah. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, his inmost heart desire, or his intended plan, next. And if we know that he hears us, well, we do know because he's told us to approach him boldly. Whatever we ask, we know that we have it, the petitions that we've asked of him. That is confidence in God. Simple. Set put, just, you know, praying the will of God is praying according to the heart and plan of God and what his word says and what the Holy Spirit prays through you. And let's finally look at Ephesians chapter 3, please, Sarah. And there's a lot in this. You know, I could probably spend another week on this, but I'm not going to. Come on. Why isn't this? Why aren't you coming up here? Well, it's being stubborn. It's all right. I'll have to look up here. All right. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now, just stop right there a minute, Sarah. Sorry. Look at all that right there. Four things there. We have boldness, access, and confidence through the faith that's already been put in there, in him. Boldness, access, confidence through faith in him. Continue on. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus. Now, this prayer, I would suggest to you to pray this prayer every day, this Ephesians prayer. And, you know, you're going to see why in a second. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, now this is in his love, verse 19, yeah, sorry, 18, did I say that? Yeah, may be able to comprehend, right here, rooted and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, Sarah, if you can just put up Ephesians 3:17 and 18 in the NIV. Oh, this is frustrating me. Here we go. I got it now. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, now look at this, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. Now, you remember I said last week that I don't believe this confidence thing is just a single thing. I believe it's something corporately the people of God have to come into that confidence, because the more we see that there's greater anointing in that, the more everybody's confident together at the same time, the more we're just going to walk through a shopping center and people are going to get healed. It doesn't come from just one person. It comes from building this confidence, because we're the temple of God. And it says it right there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Together, we can grasp it. You know, we had testimonies this morning. It should build your confidence so that when you hear other people maybe thinking, being down at the bottom end of that confidence scale, it's not going to happen. You know, build them up with a word from the Lord. Build them up with a verse. Build them up with that confidence that you have, and then they get built up. And the more that confidence, it says, is shared with God's holy people, you're going to begin to grasp and realize more and understand more how deep, far, high, and wide is that love of Christ. We sang about it this morning. It never runs out. I don't have to fear. It never runs out. It doesn't run out on you when you're struggling with an illness. It doesn't run out. And we need corporately, as a body of Christ, believers, not just this church, I'm talking about believers, we need to corporately know and believe together in that holy power and get a grasp of what that love means. We don't fully have a grasp of what that love means. We don't. We don't. Or we would corporately see more happen around us. And then in verse 20, where it says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you dare ask or think. It's interesting there, because normally you wouldn't see two L-E adverbs together, exceedingly abundantly, in the New Testament. But apparently Paul used a Greek word that had never been used before. There was a real strong emphasis happening here. And so he kind of made his own Greek word, and he put three different parts together. The first part was above and beyond. The second part was out of. And the third part was abundant. So we have above and beyond, out of, and abundant. Infinitely above and beyond all human measurement. So what God can do goes off our chart. You can't even think about it, you know. And we have that little chart, oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, I'm happy. God's just exuberant about it all the time because, you know, his measurement is just totally way off the chart. You know, I can remember being in labor wards with women having babies when they were hooked up to the machine that showed the contractions, how strong they were. And, you know, they just begin. Then all of a sudden it was off the chart. Gone. I'm thinking, oh, glad I'm not her. Off the chart. All right? There's no chart to measure the greatness of God and how it says exceedingly abundantly off the chart in measurement he will do according to what? Put up again, Sarah. According to the power that works in you. There it is again, that power of the Holy Spirit that works in you. You know, like, you know, people think, why don't we talk in tongues? What's the use of it? Well, this is the use. This is it. It's that communication with God. It's that building yourself up. It's being able to hear from him. And then it's not one way, us doing all the talking. You know, it's according to that power that works in us. What happens? We see God go off the chart. According to the power that works in us. Does that build up your confidence? Oh my goodness, it built up. Just studying this just built up my confidence in things of the Lord. If you know somebody, we're going to take communion now. And if you know somebody that's struggling, I don't know, maybe it's financially or in particular, I'm wanting to see things happen, you know, in our bodies. I'm wanting to see disease and sickness, cancer. I hate that word. I want to see it snuffed out. I want to see God's people rising up corporately and believing in the confidence they have in God. Believing in who he is, not your own confidence. Because, you know, if we had to do it on our own confidence, we'd never do anything when it comes to spiritual things like of great magnitude. Let's put it that way. When it comes to doing exceedingly abundantly above all we could dare ask or think, we would never step out if it had to do with our own confidence. But if our confidence is built up, and he who will do exceedingly abundantly, well, then we will step out. It's not a matter, like, I know it says, like, sounds like splitting hairs. Yes, we do have to, you know, build our faith, but it's not your faith you're building. It's your confidence in God. And then it just happens. It just comes in. It's not like, oh, you know, if I don't do this, I don't have enough faith. Or I know, you know, no. It's confidence. The more confidence we have corporately, the more we will see things happen. And the more we see things happen, the more confidence it builds up. It kind of just goes round and round. And as long as when, you know, we're going to miss the mark, there's times, you know, we're going to think, I don't know what happened there. All right? But it's not God. I don't know what happened, but it's not God. I'm not going to let it take away my confidence. Do not, like the verse we read last week, do not lose your confidence or cast away. Don't cast it away, your confidence. Why? It has great reward. So somebody dies that you were praying for, don't let that take your confidence away. If you're still struggling with the same health issue after so many years, don't let it take your confidence away. And what God can still do. And if we all take this, you know, I'm very careful with what I say because words are very, very powerful. And I think we get too haphazard and we're too ready to take on all the negative that comes at us. Right? So, and I'm not saying deny things, okay? But I'm saying speak His word. Just speak what He says in spite of what you feel. In spite of, speak His word. Let Him build you up in your most holy faith. Let Him do it. The Holy Spirit will do it for you. Praise the Lord. Let's just stand as we take communion this morning. Has everybody been served? And this morning, as we take communion, just, you know, meditate on that. Renew your confidence in Him this morning. You know, talk to Him. If there's an area in your life where you've lost confidence, you know, just confess it up. Say, hey, you know, He knows anyway. To say, I've just lost confidence in this area. I need you to help me because I know you're bigger than this. I know you're bigger than this problem. I know you're bigger than this health issue. And just renew your confidence in Him as we take communion this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just worship you this morning. Praise the Lord. We just lift your name. We come boldly before your throne this morning. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning lacking confidence, Lord, whatever the need.